Blog Talk Radio.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
Ah, see, that almost surprised you, Elite, right?
Love it. It's like a little different, you know?
You like that?
I love that for me.
You know, the audience, I personally like Pump It Up. I think it fits the show better overall. But I think this I Am Woman, Helen Reddy, thank you. We love you. Where are you, Helen Reddy? We miss you. I think
she's still alive, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Her career is dead, but she's alive.
That's a shame.
But I think that makes sense for today, I Am Woman, because it's gonna tie into everything that we're talking about today. But welcome, people. It is Wednesday. It is 1 o'clock, New York time. You're with the Bridal Body Shop.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And thank you.
For those of you who are just joining us, thank you for coming aboard. And for our old faithful, thank you so much for being with us. It's going to be 2 years, so thank you very much and our ratings, Elite, as you know, grow like we, and I have to say we're very fortunate. We must be doing something right, so we're not going to change it. So thank you for joining us for yet another hour-long diatribe of fitness, wedding stuff. I mean, we just really try to get everything in this show, and hopefully, I think we're doing it right, because we keep getting more and more listeners. Proper intros, of course, my lovely co-host, Elite Siegelman, is she.
Thank you, thank you.
Lori Towers is me, and the Bridal Body Shop is we.
Yeah, that's us.
Yep, we do it every week, and you know, for those people that wonder what the show is about, you know, I think we straddle two very big worlds. We straddle the fitness industry, which is what we're really about, and the wedding industry. And the genesis of the Bridal Body Shop was Elite and I designed it to get brides and grooms in shape for the wedding. And we have gotten so much press, just the business alone, Newsday, Time Out. We've been in endless magazines just with the Bridal Body Shop. And then it morphed into we were pushing a reality show, and now it's a radio show, and we're here to help brides, non-grooms. We're just trying to get everybody in shape, you know. But most people use getting into shape as a calendar marking usually dictates that. And what we try to do is certainly you want to look good for your wedding. Certainly you want to look good when you're going to the beach. Certainly you want to look good for the prom, but for crying out loud, get yourself in shape in general, because you know what, people? It's one per customer. We get a body, and that's pretty much it. So if something goes wrong outside of something horrendous, it usually is our fault, you know, and that's the sad truth. So try to, you know, listen to what we're saying. We try to deliver it with humor. We try to make it, you know, as unscientific, as unmath-like, and as uncomplicated as possible, so that the average person could understand what we're saying, embrace it, and use it in their day-to-day life.
Well, we could, you know, they get themselves in shape. We just educate them.
Well, of course. But now, wait a second, Elite. Now, wait a second, Elite, my friend. Not only are we the voice on the airwaves, we also, you know, we have trainers all over the country.
Right. That's
what I'm saying. Get rising grooms into shape.
Right. We will help you get into shape.
We will.
Who's really responsible?
It's always, the onus is on the person.
That's it.
So, but that's really it. You know, I said this to somebody the other day because he was saying that he hates working out. And it's like, well, you know what? If everybody loves working out, I got to tell you something.
Wall Street would crash again because
gyms would go out of business. It's not something that everybody likes to do, but you know what? If you find a way to make it something that's
enjoyable.
And fits into your life, it won't seem, that's why I think sports usually do well. because it's that camaraderie component, and people usually like to do things in a social atmosphere, so
right.
sports work well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, working out, I mean, I like working out alone, you like working out alone, and a lot of people don't.
Okay, if they don't, then why don't you say, you know, to their friends, you want to go join a gym, you want to go work out, you want to hire a trainer, let's do it together, because I don't want to do it alone. I need to partner.
I agree with you, partner. And you know something? I'm going to ask you. What's new with you? Anything new late?
No, it's me. No, it's basically, you know, every day, same thing.
You know what I like? I like today's show. You know why? Because you know how I like contrasts. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a Scorpio. We're black or white. And I like the fact that our topic today is the times they are changing. What we're doing is we're talking about, you know what, I think a lot of our listeners are probably not, you know, as old as we are, and remember All in the Family. And the groundbreaking show for All in the Family was when Edith went to the course.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of you who were under 30 never saw that, you could YouTube it. It's a great show, but it was groundbreaking because nobody even said the word menopause on TV then.
Right.
So it was a big thing of you have this man, this starchy, very one-dimensional, patriarchal, dictated person like Archie Bunker, who was pretty much, you know, I wouldn't say he was a misogynist at heart, but he really felt that the man ruled the house and he really didn't care about his woman except for the meals.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to navigate this woman, Edith, going through menopause. And it was amazing. It was funny. It was handled well. I think Norman Lear was just absolutely brilliant the way he directed this show. It was just wonderful. And that's what we're talking about today, the change. And I remember my mother said, when you go through the change, and how the change dictates women's lives as far as they live in fear of it.
You think it dictates it?
You know what?
Or do you think it gets in the way of it?
This is what we're going to discuss, you and I. I don't know if it dictates it in the sense that it actually does, or you're taught
mm-hmm.
that it's going to change your life
yeah.
in such a monumental way
right.
that you will never be the same after this. And
I think it's just a scapegoat for a lot of things in a woman's life. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm my analogy is always, because I know so many people say, oh, well, you're going to gain weight when you go through the change. You know something? I think that's just a lot. I mean, your hormones do change, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's just kind of the way women are taught that, well, you know what, you're going to gain weight during pregnancy, so throw a caution to the wind. You don't have to be responsible for your body. And the truth is we have actual facts. None of that has to be. And your life after menopause and during menopause can be as fulfilling as it was in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or whenever you felt the best period of your life was, it can go back to that. It doesn't have to change. And that's what we're going to tell you today. So I think that's a great
answer
topic.
Answer me one question.
I will. I'll answer you, too.
Answer me one question.
This
has to do with women, right?
Go ahead.
But why
usually
is everything that has to do with menopause,
mm-hmm.
menstruation,
mm-hmm.
What was the other? Menstruation.
Well, think about this.
Menstrual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has men in it.
Okay. Let's look at a
why is that?
Because we're not going to have a show about that because you know I can get on my feminist high horse. But the people that wrote the rules, the people that wrote the outline to the story, were men, white men
in
history.
How do they know what we're going through?
That's you know what, Elite, you're sometimes brilliant in the way you dictate things. You change, you put everything back to where I want to go. They don't know.
They don't
And
know.
The truth is, it's such, you know, and no disrespect for any doctors that are men and that are good and that are flexible in thought, but what we're thinking is it's really actual experience, and everybody's learning as they go along, and every case is individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go by how your grandmother might have gone through menopause, because it was very different. Based on nutritional value and nutritional
mm-hmm.
factor of years ago, women just used their bodies to reproduce. So we didn't know as much, we didn't care as much, and we weren't really on top of vitamins and nutritional intake. Now we are. So the rules have changed. So no disrespect for men. The rules that were written maybe 100 years ago, a subject to change. Just like our
everything's subject to change because we're just in new times. You
well,
know,
that's
you
exactly
learn new
it.
New stuff. You go through new, you know, equations. All everything is new. You can't go. I mean, even though it all leads back to the olden times and old, you know, philosophy of why and is, but
well,
it's got to be within the times now.
Well,
you got
to think about the amendments that were written hundreds of years ago. The right to bear arms. That doesn't mean that everybody has a right to have guns now, but think about the right to bear arms people years ago was you were defending your family from people invading your house. That's the way we lived. So that's where we have to be flexible in terms. So with our bodies and with us living longer and women taking a different role in society, rules have to change, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I like that because it's the flip side to the beginning of when women are starting their lives with their spouses. And, you know, this is such a cool company. I really have been doing such research on these people, and I love them so much. Broke-ass brides. And, you know, I love everything that's tongue-in-cheek. You know I love that. And this is a great, I mean, there's a book out, and there's the These ladies have a blog, and this is just a great company. And this really, really, I think it hits me in a lot of ways because we look at weddings nowadays, the beginning of our life with our spouse, whatever the spouse is, male, female, as the biggest moments of our lives. And I could see that. And we're willing to spend copious amounts of money. We will take out second homes. We will go through any extent to make that day what everybody else thinks that day should be, what everybody else told you that day should look like, what everybody else, you know, formatted that day to be in, you know, in the movie set. You know, and not everybody has the money to do this. And it's amazing that. And I made a joke the other day. Years ago, the cost of a wedding, Elite, I want you to listen to this.
I'm listening.
The cost of a wedding years ago was 25 cents for a handful of rice, $5 for the shotgun.
Yeah.
And that was the cost.
Imagine
of,
that.
Give me, I want to laugh. I want to laugh.
You want to laugh.
Give me a laugh and applause. Because that was funny. You see, you missed that.
I'm reading up on our guest. I'm, you know, I want to be well informed here.
Well, okay.
There you go.
You know what? You know, don't try to kiss up to me now because when you have to tell somebody it was a joke, it was a joke. But that's how I feel. It's like we you know, you and I are on the periphery of the wedding business, and we're immersed in it to an extent, but it's not really what we're about. But we absorb things as we go along. And the truth is, I've seen people spend a ridiculous amount of money on a wedding. And, you know, if you have it, and I'm going to preface it, if you have it, God bless you. Do whatever you want. In fact, one of our guests, Tatiana Byron from the Wedding Salon, was commenting in the Daily News last week on George Clooney's wedding, which I think the estimated cost of that was, and correct me if I'm wrong, $16 million, Elite?
Yes. Imagine that.
I mean, yeah, think about
waste
that.
Money. Waste of money.
You know, and if the money went to, and I know that both people, George Clooney is very, you know, very much involved in charities, as is his wife, his wife, who I think is a human rights attorney. So they both have their minds in a good place.
And they both have nice deep pockets.
Right. So unless that money is going towards a third world country, that's a lot to spend on a wedding. I mean, God bless you.
Everybody they knew. Nobody was discarded. Everybody they knew that was invited.
Like I said, I think it's great if the money is going to something. But, you know, I have to be honest with you. you know, we don't make bad livings, but I think that if I've had millions coming in every year and I didn't donate at least maybe a fourth of it to charity, I couldn't sleep. I mean, and especially something like that, a wedding, you know, have the wedding of your dreams. It was the first for both of them. God bless you.
Oh, he never got married before? That was his first marriage?
This is his first marriage. Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
I think it was the big to-do.
Hoopla is whoever he goes out with. Like,
but no,
really
he
cares?
Was a bachelor for so many years. So
You know, there's so much more important things in the world than that.
Well, that's always been my
But
my
I'm just saying, you know.
But this is what I like about our next guest coming up, Kristen Moynihan, who is with Broke Ass Brides. And I just love that. Broke Ass Brides. I just love the way that sounds.
You definitely all broke ass at the end of the wedding, so.
You see, you know, again, you know, I didn't go that route, so I don't know, but I have heard from you and from everybody else.
If you pay for your own wedding, there's no way that you're going to make money. There's no way that you're going to make anything that you put out back.
You have to, because this is...
No, you have to.
But this is why people do it. There had to be someone, Elise, there had to be someone in history that made money off of their wedding.
They don't. There's no way.
Then why would you do it?
There's no way.
Then why would you go crazy like that?
The tables alone, per person right now, is at least 150. At least 150. Okay?
Right.
So if you're paying 150 per head, you invite a couple. What are they going to give you? They're going to give you 300 if you're lucky.
Right.
If you're lucky. Okay, so you paid just that. How about for the band? Okay, how about for the dress?
The DJ.
How about for that, for the balloons? How about for the flowers? How about for the DJ or the band? Whatever you had, you just made the money back for your for the catering hall. Everything else was, you lost. You totally lost it. So how do you make money if you're paying for your own wedding?
Well, now you know,
I didn't know.
I come from a big Italian family where you got the envelope. You know what I'm saying? Got the envelope. You did right. You did good to him, Sonny, right? Give the envelope. That's
okay.
Although I didn't go that route. So I think a lot of people, you know, will look at the wedding as, you know, yeah, they're definitely going to make it back in an envelope. And that's the hope. I mean, that's the hope. But I think, you know, because we're rattling on about weddings and spending money. We're really not the expert. Let's bring on. I hear wedding bells a week. Let's bring on the expert.
All right.
And I think we're going to bring
she's
on.
Here.
Is she here? I hear wedding bells.
Ladies, can you hear me?
We can now.
Kristen,
all right.
Moynihan from Broke Ass
Yes,
Brides.
And congratulations
Welcome.
On actually pronouncing my name correctly. Nobody ever does that.
Oh, really? Wow.
For a serious, I mean, there's a million and a half ways to butcher my name, let's be real. But, yeah, congratulations.
I want to hear one of them. Tell me one of them.
My favorite was one of my elementary school librarians who called me Kristen Moynihan. Christian and Christina
that
have
was
always
one
been,
word.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Holy moly. Yeah, that's, I don't know what she was drinking, but we're not drinking anything. Yeah. So that's the good news. And welcome to our show. I don't know if you heard I don't know if you heard any of our lead-in. We were talking about, and I have to say, I love your company because I'm just reading up on it. And this is, what you do brings out, I think, the socialist in me, because it's like I never understood spending that amount of money that you're going to go broke on a wedding. And I'm reading up on, and you know what I love the most? I love their tagline, Elite. Creativity is our currency. How cool
wow.
is that?
That's really cool. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Well, and it's true. And, I mean, I think that can reach out to, you know, not just broke-ass weddings, but pretty much any wedding. You know, you don't have to spend a ton of money on it. The national average for weddings right now is right on the precipice of about $29,000 in Manhattan.
Oh, God.
The average is about $86,000.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
What a difference.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And, I mean, man, if you've got the money – go for it, you know, absolutely. But a lot of people have the money and still don't want to spend that on their weddings, nor should they. You don't need to, no means. I mean, when it comes down to it, all you really need is an efficient, a marriage life, and you, and that's it.
That's exactly right.
But people want weddings. They want the party, and that's fantastic. I'm all about it. I love a good party. Let's be real. But there's ways to do it and save, and you don't have to necessarily have all the bells and whistles. Or if you do want all the bells and whistles, do it smartly. There's no reason for you to go broke for a party. That's not exactly a great way to start off a marriage. So
Definitely not.
Use your resources. Use the people around you. If you have a friend who's an amazing graphic designer and you have some skill, like you're really good at office work, switch out, you know. Be her clerical assistant for a while, and she can hopefully help you design your invitation suite. Or, you know, shop at farmers markets for your flowers. Or there's a company called Bluminous right now who basically sends you a DIY kit to make your own flowers, and they're amazing.
That's cool.
You know, I mean, there's all these things that you can do, and all these resources that are at your fingertips that will help you just have a smart wedding instead of having, you know, an incredibly lavish wedding that you're going to go broke on.
Yeah, be broke ass.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, see, this is what like I said, I'm totally in your camp, and this is, I mean, I got married at City Hall for that reason, because I didn't want to get involved in all this. How do you convince the average bride that, I mean, you look at all the weddings on TV, you just look at the TLC that has all those bridal shows. How do you convince the average bride that feels she has to compete with her friend who's spending $80,000 on a wedding? How do you convince her that you don't have to?
A lot of times it's not really convincing. It's just a matter of, you know, saying, like, is that really you? You know, if your friend is spending $80,000 on her wedding, that's great, but is that true to who you are? You know,
right.
I mean, your wedding really should be a true reflection of who you are as a couple. And I think that with a lot of our brides, you know, you don't have a whole lot of finances, you're going to be pretty real about that with yourself and with the people around you, you know. But that doesn't mean you have to sacrifice the vision. It's just that you're going to have to do it in a way that's within your means. And, you know, that might mean having to, rather than have, you know, men in penguin suits serving your meal, you might have to hire college students to put on a bow tie and do it. But you know what? That's probably going to save you a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's so many different ways to do it so that it looks like you're having the wedding that your, you know, extremely wealthy friend is having without you doing it. And I guarantee you're going to walk away feeling a little bit better, because you're not like, oh, my goodness, I just blew an entire down payment on a house on a day, like on a party.
Yeah.
And, I mean, unfortunately, wedding shaming is totally a thing, and wedding competition is totally a thing. And we get that. We totally understand it. But that's why we're here. We're here to help, you know, help you get past that and just be like, hey, girl, let's be real. Let's be real with who you are, and let's do what we can with what we've got.
And
you know,
I love that.
I love that too. And you know, because honestly, I don't know. I mean, ever since the recession, there's certainly not a whole lot of disposable income to be had. So how people can think they could pull pennies together for a one day experience? It, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. It really never did make sense to me.
I totally understand that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's something that they save up for. There's an amazing, astounding amount of people who have been saving up for their wedding since they were kids, you know, or whose parents have been saving up. And that's great. That's fantastic. But you also want to turn around and be like, okay, is this the best way that we can spend our money? You know, instead of like, this is the prettiest way we can spend our money. Is this the smartest way we can spend our money? That's what it really comes down to.
The wedding is not the end of the relationship. It's not like you had the wedding and it's done.
Right.
Exactly. Life goes on.
It just signifies a new step in the relationship. I mean,
because
it's really about the marriage, and that's what it comes down to. is it's about celebrating the marriage that you guys are entering into. Mm-hmm. It's not about the party, because hell, if you want to spend that much money on a party, just have a party.
So, yeah.
You know, but, you know, make it meaningful. Make it worthwhile for you two. Make it worthwhile for your families, because it is a celebration for your families as well. It's not just mm-hmm. about you as a couple, although it's very largely about you as a couple. But it's also, you know, it's a new milestone for your friends and family who have spent a lot of time in your life. It's meaningful for them, too. So make sure that you're focusing on the important aspects rather than the frivolous ones. I guarantee people aren't really going to notice those little polka dots all over the place. And I say this loving polka dots.
Mm-hmm.
I will put polka dots on anything.
Do you?
I guarantee that's not going to be the thing that people remember. People are going to remember, you know, your vows. People are going to remember how they cried during your first dance. You know, that's the stuff. Everything else is just extra. And, you know, we'll help you spend that wisely instead of, you know, with people that cost $100 million.
And, you know what's interesting about this company, Elite, is I was doing a little history about it. Dana LaRue started a blog when she was planning her first wedding in Los Angeles in about 2008. And this is the way things usually happen, because it has to be personal. Then
uh-huh.
you kind of,
of course,
you think outwardly.
Right.
And after discovering there was no real solid resources that provided the answers to have a wedding on a tight budget, she began writing her own journey. So that, I think that's interesting. So you can embellish on that for spin, but I think that's really just amazing how something could something from your own experience could turn into an actual business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when Dana started writing it during her first wedding planning experience, it really just took off pretty quickly. I mean, I've been kind of working on going through the archives lately, and you know, flushing them out and seeing really what we focused on when we very first started. And, I mean, just looking through it and looking at all the statistics, it really took zero time at all. I mean, the blog was maybe going for like 4 months before it really started taking off and gaining a following. So obviously there was a need out there for a resource like us. And, I mean, since we, you know, there have been other blogs in similar circumstances that, you know, maybe they took after us, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But, I mean, it's really, it's amazing that you realize that people are planning weddings on these budgets, but they don't know where to go. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know, you know, what to do. And even more amazing is the fact that they don't know this because they've never planned a wedding before.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Well, so
you know? Nine times out of ten, you know, we'll get new readers on the site and they'll be like, I don't even know where to start. I literally don't know where to start. I'm like, great, well, you found us, so that's a step. You know, here's my best advice to sit down and start planning your wedding, which is usually map out your budget first and foremost, because that will dictate everything. Everything. It'll dictate how many people you can invite. It'll dictate where, you know, maybe even season, what time of year that you get married. Your budget has a lot to do with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's necessary. You know, you can't
mm-hmm.
you can't go start
or,
planning a wedding
if you don't have a budget,
how much
then where's the money coming from?
Yeah, exactly. And I heard you ladies talking earlier about you know, people hoping that they could make money back on the weddings
mm-hmm.
through you know,
cash. If you pay for your own wedding.
Which most couples, the vast majority of couples, I think it's like 72% of couples are now paying for their own weddings rather
mm-hmm.
than, you know, or they're also receiving help from families. So, I mean, yes, you might think that, you know, oh, maybe we'll get money back or whatever, but at that point during your wedding planning process, you've probably already received a lot of cash gifts, and you might have poured those back into the wedding. And that's
right.
just how it happens.
Right.
You don't really make the money back. You're just kind of like, oh, my God, I need an extra, like, $300 infusion to
yeah.
hit
God,
the spender.
Just if you're lucky. $300.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Coming from
you,
no,
if
I'm
you're
Jewish
not lucky,
and
you're not
going to
get anything.
They give us $18, $36. I don't know if you ever heard of that. They have these numbers that's like a, you know, a Jewish, you know, mitzvah. They give you like a good luck number. And it's never
mm-hmm.
more than $36. So I never made back that money.
Right. And
that's,
I mean, certainly
that's
you
terrible.
Can't go into
yeah.
your
and
wedding.
Never heard of that.
I mean, certainly you can't
wow.
go into wedding planning process thinking you're going to make
anything
back. Yeah. You have to just be like, well,
thank you.
Let's go do it.
You know something? Now let me ask you this, because, I mean, I'm going to give you a really, really low number. There's a couple out there that's going to come to you. Their budget is $10,000. That's really all they can do for a wedding. Now,
is it possible?
I think
oh,
it is,
yeah.
But you can answer that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's actually one of our average numbers for our readers.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I see $10,000 weddings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In our book, we featured a wedding as low as, I think, $2,000. On the site, we have one for as
wow.
low as $500. You know, I mean, it really, you have to lower your expectations at some point. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you can't,
yeah.
you certainly cannot get, you know, an Oscar de la Renta gown on a $10,000 budget. Or if you can, man, you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know,
but yeah.
Yeah. This is where our tagline, you know, use your creativity as currency, that comes into play. Just because
yeah.
dress is a wedding dress doesn't mean it has to be your wedding dress. There's any dress can be a wedding dress as long as you wear it to your wedding. That's
true.
All it takes.
I agree.
You know?
I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, when I was planning my first wedding, my dress was $100. And I loved every ounce of it. Every single
That's
ounce
fine.
Of it. Yeah.
Only you have
title.
To love it. Nobody else has
you know?
To love it.
That's
well,
exactly
right.
right.
And then, you know, you can do things like, you say you want food from your favorite restaurant. Maybe rent out their event room. You're going to
mm-hmm.
save on corkage fees. You're going to save on hiring servers. You're going to save on rental fees. And so you're basically just paying a catering fee. Most places will rent out the room. If you want to rent out the whole restaurant, it's going to be their average of what they would make in that night. So
okay.
you can kind of talk to them and see, like, I don't know, is the patio open? What would you normally make on the patio? Great. Can we do that? Can we bring in our own food and booze, or will you give it? Or can we bring in our own booze? You guys provide the food, or will you guys, you know, help us out with some corkage fees or whatever? Restaurants are probably going to work with you. It's guaranteed business for the night, period. Same thing, like I said, with flowers, you know, shop at flowers markets. That's super easy. Just go get some ribbon from wherever, Michael's Craft Store or whatever, and put together your bouquets. Have a girls' night the night before your wedding and put together your bouquets, and they'll be fresh and ready for the next day. Learn how to do your own hair and makeup. We're starting a hair and makeup tutorial series on the blog, hopefully within the
oh,
next
that's
couple
excellent.
Months.
Oh, that's
I am horrible at doing hair and makeup, so we're going to see if our person can teach me how to do that. So, because if
right.
I can do it, anybody can do it. you know, this is
what's important.
But I love it. I love this whole idea.
But people don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
right.
problem. People are led by their mother or their mother-in-law, and this is the way you have to do it. They don't realize.
Well, they
you
live
can,
their fantasy through you, you know.
But you can
you.
Have your fantasy and
right.
not have to take out, to use 8 credit cards.
Right. Well, yeah.
Am I right, Kristen?
Right, absolutely. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people don't know how to plan their own weddings. They've only been doing what they've been taught through generations. And
yeah.
the funny thing is that there hasn't been a huge shift as far as, like, the old school weddings go, but weddings have all of a sudden, through the media, very much become these outlandish affairs. And,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we're seeing these, you know, I heard you guys talking about George Clooney's wedding. We're seeing these
yeah.
multi-million-dollar weddings all the time. I mean, this summer alone, how many celebrity weddings were there? There was probably like 20
I'm trying to think.
Or something.
Quite a few.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everybody got married this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately ups the ante, you know. And the wedding market has become so saturated that
mm-hmm.
it's hard to find companies that you want to work with that will work with you on a budget. You know, because everybody's like, well, weddings, you say the word wedding and it automatically jacks up the cost of anything, you know, a couple grand. And that's ridiculous. There's no reason for that.
It's funny because Elite and I, we're older than you. I mean, I got married 26 years ago. Elite got married 25 years ago. And she went to traditional wedding, and I went City Hall. And the bottom line is, even though I wasn't as involved in the whole wedding aspect of it, there didn't seem to be this competitive nature that we have now about outdoing each other with weddings and proms and sweet 16s. It's just gotten so outrageous. It's just incredible.
Well, it used to be a much more personal experience, too, but with the advent of social media, which, I mean, I'm a huge social media fan. Let's be real. I love me some Instagram all the time. But with the advent of social media and the fact that we're actually seeing each other's weddings, that's creating a whole new level of experience. And so, you know, it's like, oh, I like her idea, but I want to do it this way, and I want to do it better. So
do you think that's the reason why it's so outlandish now?
I think that the advent of just media, you know, more media, more accessibility to
more
what everybody else is doing.
It.
Yeah, you have more accessibility to what everybody else is doing, so you're inherently going to start comparing what you're doing to what they're doing. And that works in all aspects of life, you know. I mean, you know, look at outfit of the day posts. Everybody's doing outfit of the day posts. Instagramming your food all the time, you know. Everybody's trying to be bigger and better than the next person.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that definitely carries over to weddings because it's, you know, that it's one of the moments, or so they say, it's one of the biggest days of your life. It's one of the most momentous occasions you'll experience. And so, of course, that's, you know, there's going to be a natural competition that comes in with that.
You know what I think, Kristen, and this is just, again, you know, I'm not going to date myself, but I think I'm a real good catch anyway. Give me a rim shot with that. Anyway, but it's, I think that we lose the intimacy of the wedding, the fact that we can make something go viral that quickly. I mean, the people that were at our weddings years ago got the pictures if we chose to send them to them.
Right, and chose the ones
right,
you wanted.
Exactly. It wasn't for everybody. It wasn't for 1,000 people to look at. It was just for the people that we felt should.
Your family. Your intimate family.
And the menu,
right.
The people that were there knew what they ate. So, you know, in a way, don't get me wrong, I love social media, and both my businesses run on social media, but there is, in this specific area, we're losing the intimacy of the entire dynamic by being able to go viral with a wedding picture. I just don't get that.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, there's definitely been this whole, you know, unplugged wedding movement where couples are asking their guests to not bring their iPhones or, heaven forbid, tablets to take photos. Please, people, don't take photos with your tablets because it just looks so silly. It looks so silly, especially at weddings, you know?
But
then
you have people that say, take as many pictures as you can and post them because I want to see them.
Right. But
then
you
get people that they don't need a photographer because you have all those pictures.
Sure, but if a couple chooses to hire a photographer, then all these people taking photos are just getting in the way of the person that the couple has paid probably a couple thousand dollars to come and take their photos. So what's happening is more and more couples are deciding to have unplugged weddings, which is just saying, hey, put down the social media, be present for what we have asked you to come here and be present for. Instead of looking through a screen, look at us with your own eyes. Which I think is fantastic. I'm a huge, huge, huge advocate of that. As much as I'm an advocate of social media, I'm an even more bigger advocate of enjoying, especially an occasion like a wedding. Because it's an extremely, extremely personal experience, and the couple has chosen to share that with you. So be there for it.
It's a time and place kind of situation. You know,
absolutely.
If
you bust it out, if you bust out your phone during the reception when everybody's doing the conga or something, fine, whatever. At least for the ceremony and at least for, you know, the certain moments throughout the reception, like the cake cutting and stuff, don't try to jump in. Just let the photographer do their job. They're getting paid for it. And you just be there. And, you know, if you need to take a selfie with the bride later, take a selfie with the bride later. Fine. Nobody's going to judge you for it.
But you know something, you made a very good point, because Elite and I do things all the time. We end up at different weddings and so on and so forth. We do a lot of showcases. And we were at a wedding recently, and I remember just looking as we're dancing, and we're looking up and we're seeing all these phones up in the air, and I'm thinking, all these people are taking pictures,
yeah.
and they're taking videos.
Videos,
like,
and everything, yeah.
And I'm thinking, if I were the photographer, I'd be like, well, why the hell am I here?
They're the professionals.
Of course,
yeah.
But it just seems like
everybody's
just
taking
become,
it for themselves personally.
It's just gotten so intrusive.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think so.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
I mean,
it just this is why I love everything I've read about your company, because it just it embraces, you know, I don't want to speak for Elite, but it embraces everything that I think about weddings. It's like, you know, if you have $50 and you just get the justice of the peace and the license, that's okay. If you want to do a little bit better, that's okay too.
Oh,
you don't
I would
have
do
to,
it just like that now if I had to do it all over again.
You know,
yeah.
If you want a little something, that's great. But to go
I would never spend a lot of money on a wedding anymore.
I mean, the thing about Broke Ass Bride is you could get bang for your buck and be creative. See, but people don't realize that.
Well, people need to help.
That's
and
people need to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, yes, flexibility is a huge part of it. I mean, if you're working on a tight budget and this is something that you've never done before, you know, you're gonna get sticker shock at first. You know, you're gonna be like, all right, I'm working with a $10,000 budget, and then you're gonna start, you know, researching your dream venue or your dream dress, and all of your bubbles are gonna be popped right off the bat, and you have to adjust your expectations. That's fine. You can still have the wedding that you want. That's what we're here to help you do. Right now, we have a bride who lives in Philadelphia, which has a huge average cost of wedding. And so her budget, I mean, the cost of living is big too. And she's inviting 230 people, which is pretty much all family between her and her fiance. They don't have huge families. So her budget is $25,000. That's a lot of money. I get that that's a lot of money. But for that metropolitan area, that's not a lot of money. That's not going to go as far as it would elsewhere in the country. So that's another thing, you know, budgets are relative, and broke is a completely relative term as well, you know. So we've got her, we've also featured $400 weddings. Like, we run the full spectrum. What's universal is that people wanting to save money, that's completely universal, you know. Everybody can save money the same way. It's just going to be a different extreme on either end. So
That should be great. You know, again, I mean, you said it, and I said it before. If you have money, throw away. God bless you. Give part of it to charity. But yeah, have the wedding of your dreams. But the average person, we're talking about the maybe 1% of the people that could really have disposable income. You know, most of us don't have it. So you could have something nice, and you know, have a little something to pay the bills with. That's what I'm
about.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, for after the wedding.
For
life after the wedding. I know people who have spent so much money on their weddings and came away from their wedding and they're like, oh my God, I can't even afford to buy groceries. That's because you just spent, you know, literally every cent that you have on your wedding. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's crazy.
You have to budget for life too, you know.
Thank you.
Life is the thing that happens right before and right after that one single day.
Yep.
Totally agree.
The wedding just happens to be a day.
Totally agree.
And
you know, this is the part of the program where we tell the guests to go plug yourself. So I want you to use this time.
In a nice way.
In the best way possible. Just, you know, shout out anything that you want our listeners to you know, your website. I mean, there's a book, The Broke Ass. I mean, mention all of that. This is your time. It's on Amazon, isn't it, Kristen?
It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. I actually saw it live and in person the other day for the first time without my multiple copies that I use for work purposes. But I actually got to go see it on a bookshelf at Barnes & Noble. It's out there.
Nice.
The website, thebrokeassbride.com, you know, we've got archives upon archives of awesome, awesome, awesome material that will help you. We have a lot of really amazing partners who are all about what we're about, which is helping you have the day of your dreams without spending all your money. Our social media, we're at BrokeassBride on everything. We have a new Instagram account, which is great because Dana is on her honeymoon for her second wedding right now, and she's in Paris, so there's a lot of honeymoon pictures going up right now. Yeah, just come have fun with us. We're always available. You can email info@brokeassbride.com. If you have any questions about wedding planning, I'm always here to help you. It's my job, literally.
Yeah, very nice.
And you know what I'd like? Certainly, not only for you to be on the show again, but you email me all the information so we could put it on our Facebook page tomorrow, and this
Absolutely.
Way our listeners could see it again.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Kristen Moynihan,
thank
you so much. And you'll be on again.
Thank you.
This is the woman after my own heart. This is the woman after my own heart. This is the company after my own heart. Do you understand this?
Well, I really love what I do, obviously. So.
Beautiful.
Ladies,
thank you so much.
It's been such a pleasure meeting you.
And enjoy
you
your day
well.
and fight the good fight. Good for you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you
Take
so much.
Care.
Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Love. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
See, that's the way you do weddings.
I know.
You take notes.
I know.
We watch all these shows, and you see all these people spending these ridiculous amounts of money, and you're thinking, see, this is what I like. You think that, well, if I'm on a budget, it's not going to be as nice, but it's going to be as nice.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you just have
people
to...
People really need to realize that it's just a five-hour party. It's all it is. And it's the rest of your life that you need, the rest of what you have. It's not just throw all your money away for 5 hours. It's just like 500 years more if you could live that long. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, training out, you know, training with the bridal body shop. You never know.
Baby, I don't even want to be here.
But you know what I'm saying. It's living longer and just, you know, spending wisely is all it is.
I agree, but that's, you know, there's a population that has to be fed a totally different philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just thinking about, well, you know, it has to be this way, it has to be that way. You know, the bottom line is it doesn't have to be anything but the way you want it to be.
In a budget, because, you know, if you had the money, you could have it any way you want. You have those wedding planners, you know, spending all your money without even you knowing. It's just that everything should be on a budget if you're on a budget.
I definitely agree. But you know, it's for a woman when you're at the mercy of your mother-in-law or your mom.
Mm-hmm.
On either side of you sometimes,
right.
Telling you what you should be doing and blah, blah.
Unless you're paying for it. You know what? They can't say anything.
Wait, you know what? Enough of
this. Yeah, I think that we have to go to that other topic.
You know what I want to talk about. You want
to... Everybody's been waiting for that.
Everybody calm down.
Come on.
If you're hot flashing, just blot yourself. Here I come. There you go. Okay, everybody relax. Okay. This is what Leet and I were talking about before. This is a time in every woman's life that they are taught to dread. It's the change.
Mm-hmm. And even you.
What? What about me? What did I complain about?
You know what I'm saying. It's the change. You know, sometimes you got a hot flash or something.
I got one hot flash, Elite Ziegelman.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's about it.
But every woman will experience
it. I smiled, but Elite
smiled too little.
I smiled the same amount during that one hot flash that I got.
But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
I don't know.
You do. I'm just saying, because you say every woman, and, you know,
every woman,
I try to include
me.
You.
Yeah, I am it, but I am every woman. Where's that song? I am every woman. Where's that song?
I'm every woman.
Yeah, we don't want that. Anyway, so this is what women are taught. That
was for me.
because this is getting
no, they love my singing.
You love your singing. Okay. Now, this is what women are, you know, and it's funny because we're taught, we're congratulated when we become women, first begin our cycles. You're a woman, we're embraced. And it's funny because how it turns around.
Did you get anything?
I got some Tampax. That's all
I
got.
That too.
Yeah, and that's it.
You said take it to the store, and that's why you...
No. And my mother threw a pamphlet on the table. Your period, your friend.
Really?
Ran out of,
oh, she
the
was
store.
Sorry about that.
It's called breast, Mom. Yeah, well, whatever.
Oh, my mother was so into it.
My mother.
So into it.
And so the back of
I didn't even want to tell her because she was so into it.
No, my mother could. My mother was such, you know, yeah. Dead topic. But
$20 I got.
For your period?
Yeah.
I want retro pay. How much do you think I'd get?
Oh, forget it.
I'd get a lot.
40,
right?
When did you get it?
I got
How
it
old?
When I was 16.
Oh, wow.
So I got
would have got more money than you.
I'll spend it. Okay. But we're applauding.
Late bloomer.
This is a late bloomer.
Yeah, very late.
We got to move on. At least you have to get
okay,
past
go, go, go,
okay?
go, go.
We're embraced. When we become woman, and it's
I don't
funny
know. Is
because
that what they call it?
You congratulated, and it's funny.
But it was a curse because that's what
no,
it
no,
is.
No. Don't your female relatives come over and say, oh, "Now you're a woman"?
But it's a curse. They're just happy because you're cursed too with them.
And that might be a point.
That's exactly what it is.
That might be a point, but
even they agree.
But yes. When it happens, when the change happens, you're kind of left to, you know, your life is over. And that's not the truth.
Who says your life is over?
This is what we're taught, that horrible things are going to happen to you. And they come into form, Elite.
You just can't have babies.
Elite, give me the platform. just play
all
the
right,
sound effect, okay? See, that was terrible. There's no reason to do that.
It wasn't the one I wanted.
No, it wasn't the one I wanted either. I got news for you. And this is what people are, women are taught to fear. The weight gain, okay? The hot flashes, the depression, the osteoporosis. Now.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead. Crabbiness.
I agree with all that. I totally agree with that.
I'm just saying the crabbiness.
I'm just saying in general that my body has totally changed since I got the change. Totally changed. It has, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I gained weight, but it totally shifted in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think that you stand sideways, I see your heartbeat, so
I'm
there's
just
no
saying,
problem.
Jen,
there.
It just shifted in different ways. It's not the same body that I've seen. Too bad, happy. You know, it's just the same for me.
Yeah, you pretty much the way I got
there.
Yeah,
that doesn't
change.
Affect me.
Okay.
What was the other thing?
Okay. Osteoporosis. That does sound.
No, because you work out. You know, we work out.
Now,
that's where we come in handy for people.
See how you bring that around to Mama.
Oh boy.
Oh, this is why I keep you. This is why I keep you. Okay. Now, the weight gain, more often than not, the weight gain that we experience has more to do with caloric intake and decreased activity than any hormonal change. See, women don't realize that. Metabolism does not, however, slow down somewhat, but not to the extent that we think. Jump-starting it a bit with cardio-saturated activity proves to be generally easy and easy enough to set this off completely. And this is what women don't see.
Well, you know what? You're trying to tell a 50-year-old that you have to start working out.
But
okay.
That might mean just brisk walking after dinner with a friend.
You're talking to me.
This is what
I'm
saying.
Just saying in general.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that I got the women come to me that just say, oh, you know, I don't understand why I'm gaining weight. It's the change that I'm gaining.
And, you know, again, with the, well, I'm pregnant, I can eat whatever
right.
I want.
It's
just stop blaming.
Excuse.
Stop blaming everything.
Excuse.
Stop it. You know what? I don't know what the people that Luke's talking about, but I'm telling you right now, stop being babies. Stop being babies. Okay, come on. I'm 52, and I could out bench press any one of you. Just stop it. There you go. Thank you. Okay, now hot flashes. Many studies have been documented to support the fact that since it does encourage change in estrogen level, exercise is a chief factor in reducing the severity of hot flashes. And
you know,
I
do believe that because, like, you got it, right?
Once.
I think I maybe got it twice.
And you know what? I think it was salt. I don't even think it was a hot flash.
But, you know, I don't get hot flashes either as much as, you know, we see friends
would.
That are fatty.
I wish you would. You're always
I do get the top, oh, it's so hot in here, it's so hot in here, it's so hot in here. We have to put the air conditioning on. When it's 20 degrees
outside. That's just psychosis. That has nothing to do with
fat. Okay? That's what it is. Go ahead, next.
Well, okay. We're thinking of different people then. I'm
no,
totally
you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else.
No.
Okay. Okay, now this is a biggie because honestly,
how could you not be depressed, gaining weight, and getting hot flashy?
There you go. See, now it's just the lump sum of that. You know, the general view of exercise is the release of endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is just broad stroke. This has nothing to do with, this is not age-specific. Depression, and there have been many studies to support this, is reduced by exercise. Just the release of endorphins will encourage symptoms of it. Now
mm-hmm.
again, if there is severe clinical depression, it could only
that's
do
different.
So much.
That's different. That's
but
different.
The depression, the day-to-day depression, you know, the blues, exercise is a chief component in fighting that.
Mm-hmm.
And women don't realize that. You know,
women don't realize. Men don't realize it either.
Well, we're talking about, and men go through this too. We're not going to dismiss them and say they don't.
They go with us,
right? But we're talking about women here, so certainly this is what we're talking about.
But
and
do men go through changes they go through midlife crises? Is that the same thing?
It's hard to say because we don't know if there is any type of elevation in testosterone or decrease in testosterone.
Decrease.
There probably is. So there has to be something. Let's be serious. Human beings, when you reach a certain level in your life.
I mean, your body's getting old.
Right.
I mean,
there has
know,
to be some shift.
You're using up a lot of the whatever you have from the beginning.
There has to be some shift. There has to be. So do they go through it as dramatically?
No.
I don't know. I'm going to step out
and
say.
Estrogen is so much, you know, inferior. Is it inferior? Inferior. Testosterone.
But I don't know if we're not taught that we experience it worse. See, that's the thing. Is this behavioral? You know,
not
it's
really.
Hard to say. I'm not saying it's all, but let's think about it. We are hand-fed and said this since we're small.
Did your mother do this to you?
No.
No, neither did mine.
You know, I have to be honest with you. My mother was
and
an
I'm
older
thinking
mother.
Maybe that's why we don't care.
My mother was a mother. Your mother was young.
So she really didn't have a chance to really go through her changes?
My mother probably went through her change. I know she said she did when she was like 50, but I was, how old was I? Maybe 12 or 11. I wouldn't have noticed.
Oh.
And she didn't, well, she had.
So I
don't remember her complaining about it. I think she said she had some hot flashes.
We really don't really know.
Right, but
I think exercise has a lot to do with that.
And my mother did exercise.
Right, and my mother didn't.
They have so rest. She exercised.
Did.
What did she ever? Okay.
Tried.
Osteoporosis. Now, you know, I love this because bone density is something that is a bit more gender specific. What was that whip?
It was just like when you get osteoporosis.
You get whipped? Holy moly. I
you know
looked at
why
myself.
I hate
like, what
you
the hell
why
was
I hate
that?
Thing? Whatever, because I can't say it.
Osteoporosis?
Osteoporosis.
So I got the whip because of that?
Yeah, no, because I got the whip.
And, well, watch next. Anyway. Resisted movement by progressive resistance. See, people don't realize.
Weightlifting.
Okay, now, Elite, what was the duck about? What the hell? Give me that because
so
that's
it's just so
easy enough
you
a duck to do it. Is that what I'm saying?
You know that.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm trying to say.
The coin phrase, easy enough a duck could do it because that's something.
No, you had to be a quack not to know that.
It's amazing. I have something important to say.
Now.
I have some osteoblast activity is encouraged by progressive resistance.
Of course.
Now, what osteoblasts are is bone cells. And anytime you make some sort of movement that is progressive resistant, which is weight-bearing, weight resistant,
mm-hmm.
you encourage bone cell growth. And that is creating bone density, ladies.
Yes.
So even if you lift a weight, you're not going to get big. You're not going to create bone density. So all you women that are 40 pounds overweight and afraid to lift a weight because it's going to make you look too big, you know what? The sandwich that you ate today, that's going to make you bigger than the weight you're lifting. Give me a rim shot. Give me a rim shot.
Okay.
There you go. Perfect. That's really what it is. So that's what we're talking about with osteoporosis, and of course dietary factors too. But you know, any weight gain, any muscle density that you gain will support your joint. And you know what?
Yeah.
You need your joint.
That is the most important time to work out. Not even cardio in a sense, but weight resistance, you know?
That's exactly. And, you know, the more support you have around a joint, the better you're going to be.
You're cushioned.
So now let's give some simple and livable options and exercise for all the women that are about to walk away. I don't want to hear these people because they're pushing that weight, that lifting weight agenda. Come back. Stop being babies.
Lifting weight?
This is what
they're
saying.
The best thing for you.
But they don't want to hear
understand.
That. Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay. Simple and livable options and exercise. Okay. This is what's going to be the easiest thing for people who don't have any type of want to embark on an exercise program, or they just want to do something simple for now. Okay, substitution. This is what you do. Get off a train two stops before.
And what do you do?
You
walk.
Get off an elevator and walk down a couple of flights of steps.
Calm at the back.
And these are aerobic supplements, and they will always burn more calories and establish a heart-healthy framework for your life. This is what's important. Strength training with dumbbells, compound movements such as squats and push-ups, will encourage speed and rate of metabolism in addition to adding bone density and mental focus. Stretching and lengthening with other disciplines such as yoga, Pilates, will continue to promote and improve flexibility and establish a better center, quote. This is all stuff that we can do on a daily basis, and we should be. You know, you don't have to go that crazy like the lovely Lee Ziegelman myself. But
we don't go crazy.
Oh,
I don't go crazy, no, you do.
You know what? People don't want to work out like we do, and that's fine. And you know what? I've made peace with that. I've made peace with that. But the bottom line is, menopause does not mean the exercise of your life. It means you can no longer procreate. But guess what, ladies? You were not put on this earth to procreate. You if you have babies, God bless you. It's wonderful, and may they contribute to society. But that's not
just create yourself.
You're here to bring something
to
the world.
Create.
Not necessarily children. You know, and it's okay. They're not afraid of menopause. They're not afraid of it. They're holding up the sign. They're holding up the signs. We're not afraid. Don't be afraid.
Why should they be?
They shouldn't be.
Nope.
And that wraps up our show.
Yay!
And I would like to thank I love Broke Ass Brides, Lee.
I love that whole concept.
I love that whole concept.
People should really not spend a lot of money on their body.
I love the concept.
I mean, if you good for you.
I'm getting the book.
But there's no need to spend a lot of money.
And I'm getting the book. I'm going
You're
to
get the book?
So I'm going to get the book.
I'm going to share.
I don't know if they get the same amount if you download.
Of course you do.
Do you?
Of
course. Okay. You know what? I want to go to Barnes & Noble and just pick it up, the hard copy.
You know what's funny? The other day I picked up Barnes & Noble. I don't know if it was the last time I bought a book.
I'm going to do that just because I want to support print media. I do.
And
you know what
I mean? A lot of times, I mean, I'm sure they have it on the shelf, but a lot of times they don't have a regular book on the shelf.
Really?
You have
That's
to order
fair.
It now.
That bothers me. That does bother me.
Amazon.com.
I know, but you know what? I like bookstores. I like going in a bookstore, and I like buying a magazine, and I like reading the New York Times.
Yeah.
That's what I like, and I'm going to hold on to that. So we would like to thank Kristen Moynihan for joining us, and she'll definitely be back on again.
She's
wonderful,
fabulous.
Fabulous, and Thank you for coming on and sharing and fitting in with our banter very well. You know, it's not easy to get in involved with the phone back and forth between me and Elaith, but, you know, she held her own and then some. So we want to thank her. And, of course, I want to thank my lovely co-host, Elaith Ziegelman, for riding shotgun, making this
the best time of your
life. An annoying process for me. You know, thinning out my stomach lining with every second that we're together. But no. Thank you. Ooh, well, glad to get you. Thank you, Elaith, for a wonderful show. Lay some sugar on me. Thank you for making. For being the half of the show. And thank you to everybody that was listening.
May I thank you.
Okay, look, I can stop you. Go ahead.
My lovely. Go ahead. Lori
Howard. Tell me something.
The host.
Yeah, baby, talk to me. Come listen. Oh, okay. Like I'm ready. Okay. What's you going to say? That's it.
Okay. I'm going to thank you. So I had to thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm very good with you.
Cool.
And we'd like to thank everybody listening. The new viewers, the new listeners, the old listeners. Welcome aboard. Thank you. Please come back. We'll be back next week, same time. And we hope that you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Drive me home, Elaith.
I am woman. Hear me roar in numbers too big.